This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us this afternoon, the Rogue Ginger herself, Erin Rhodes. Thanks for being on the show.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Now, you've just released your new book. It's called Waste Not, How We Can Make a Big Difference by Throwing Away a Little Bit Less. It's a topic that's become quite central, particularly as well around the country. Obviously, supermarkets getting rid of single-use plastic bags. What has your zero waste journey been?
My zero waste started years ago with my first plastic-free July, which is about to kick off for its eighth year running. So I took this challenge to essentially reduce my plastic, my single-use plastics. It's like your plastic bags, plastic straws, takeaway coffee cups, and plastic containers and plastic water bottles. And from there, I was just inspired to keep going, realizing that, you know, the world would keep turning if I don't use all this plastic. And it actually improves, and I'm doing something good for the environment as well.
Did you find it difficult? Because I think that's the biggest hurdle for people is how do I actually do that? It would kind of, initially at least, be quite an inconvenience.
It was hard at the start, definitely, because I was so used to using all this plastic and I never once stopped to think about it. But I found the trick was just setting up reminders and not being too hard on myself. Like if I forgot to say no to a plastic bag or forgot to bring my own bags, I'd think, right, I can start again tomorrow. And I wouldn't get angry. I wouldn't get upset. And I just keep trying as I went along.
And when we say zero waste, I guess ideally that obviously means you are literally throwing away nothing. But what are we talking about when we're trying to live a waste-free lifestyle?
To live a waste-free lifestyle is to just rethink what is waste. A lot of what I suppose we put into our landfill sites or just into our bins every day perhaps can go to other locations. So, for instance, our food scraps. Our bins are made up of about 40 to 50% of food scrap.
Wow.
If we just started shopping a bit smarter, getting a bit more savvy with how we use up our scraps, and also doing things like composting as well, and you'll be able to divert, you know, half your bin away from landfill. That's huge. Things like repairing our clothes, borrowing items and sharing stuff with family and friends, and also looking at how we buy our food as well. Instead of getting it all packaged in plastic, look for ways that we can get it with a little bit less plastic.
Yeah, it really is a mindset shift, because mentioning something like you said there about fixing our clothes, if I said that to my grandma, she would think, what do you mean you don't fix your clothes? Isn't that part of what we just all do? But it's like our mentalities have become very much more about throwing stuff out instead of fixing things.
Exactly. A lot of the stuff that I talk about in my book is exactly how our great-grandparents used to live. We survived and thrived with a lot without any of this plastic packaging, by repairing things. There's people out there who repair our clothes for a living, and I happily take all my stuff there and get them fixed. And by doing that, I'm investing in skills as well. You know, if we go and get our stuff repaired, it's telling companies and it's also telling us people who repair our stuff that I value your skills, I value the resources, and I want to pay respect to that and make it last for as long as possible.
And in the book, you mention an idea or a system, I guess, called the Waste Framework. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so it's just like a set of rules almost to just think about before you kind of start shopping or buying something. So, for instance, before anything goes into my bin, I have a think about, can I reuse this? Can I repair this? Could I, you know, give it to somebody else? Could I compost it? Or do I really need this? So it's just asking yourself a couple of questions about what you can actually do with the item rather than, I suppose, not thinking, which I think that's what a lot of us have kind of fallen into. We don't think before we make a purchase and we don't think before we throw it away.
One of the startling statistics that's mentioned with your book, Waste Not, is that each year Australian households produce enough rubbish to fill a three-bedroom home. That would be confronting to see that all piled up. Why do you think we've got to a place where we have so much landfill and so much rubbish?
I think it's because things have become so cheap for us. It's almost it's easier for us to just go and buy something rather than to stop and think. We're not encouraged, I suppose, to slow down. And that's one thing I love about my lifestyle shift is I've learned to slow down and really think about things. I feel like I'm not really caught up trying to keep up with everyone else. And I think that's also one of the factors. We feel we have to keep up with our neighbours. If they've got something big, well, I've got to get something bigger and better and shinier. And we're chasing what is sold as happiness to us, but it's kind of not. It's a false happiness, and we're not that happy. You see reports each year saying how unhappy we are. I find living with less and buying less stuff and investing in my community a bit more is where I'm finding my happiness.
I'm really glad to see this trend taking off because it comes down to waste and also that minimalist lifestyle that we've heard so much about, I think particularly in the last year at least, that seems to be really attractive. What are some of the swaps you've made? Because I know for most of the women listening, the first thing we think about is, okay, how is this going to affect my beauty routine? How is this obviously going to affect my fashion purchases? How have you found ways to make simple changes in those areas?
Yeah, so I still love wearing makeup. I'm not someone who's like, right, have to stop wearing makeup. I love makeup. I think it's a lot of fun. So I buy mascara in a zero-waste packaging, which means I can use the mascara and it gets sent back to the company to get it refilled. And also the same, my cheek tint and my lipstick, it comes in compostable paper packaging. So once I'm done with that, I can then pop that into the compost. I make my own toothpaste now.
Wow.
You can still get your shampoo and your conditioner and stuff from something like bulk food stores, or you can invest in like a shampoo bar, which comes either in paper packaging, or you can get it unpackaged. So there's all these alternatives, and I bet if we all kind of sit down with our great-grandparents, they'd be like, oh, I remember doing this stuff.
Yeah, it's really just getting a little bit more old school, and it sounds like it's as simple as just researching a little bit better when it comes to making purchases, because it's not like you're making all of these things from scratch necessarily. You're just choosing better companies to buy them from.
Exactly. Like when I started, there weren't as many companies, and I used to make a lot of stuff from scratch, and I realised, especially now I've got a child, it's not that sustainable for my mental health.
Yeah. So, not at all.
And so I now happily will go and purchase stuff ready-made. I feel like there's this perception that if you become this, like, you know, eco-warrior or something, you have to make everything from scratch. And that's not true. I tell people that, you know, we've been buying bread from bakeries since the Roman times. We've always outsourced stuff that we didn't really want to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
So there are companies out there who are making better products, making better packaging. We've just got to source them.
Yeah, and I do want to kind of finish up with this one for you, Erin, because you talk about having a zero-waste wedding, which for some brides, even grooms, families, everybody, will just seem very unattainable. What are the first steps to having a zero-waste wedding?
Do you know what? It was a lot easier than we expected. We had a very big Aussie-Lebanese wedding, and we just went and looked at our own consumption. We said, right, well, the biggest thing that goes into anyone's bin is food waste.
Mm.
So we sat down with our event planner and we said, right, we want to make sure we can divert as much as our food waste as we can from landfill, and they ended up composting it. And small things like electronic invites, instead of asking for presents, we asked them to contribute to our honeymoon. I got a secondhand dress and shoes, just small things like that. Instead of anything that could be thrown away, we borrowed it. And
yeah,
no one knew that it was a zero-waste wedding. It just looked like a very normal wedding.
Yeah, yeah. It really is just making simple swaps. And it sounds just like an attitude change, Erin, and hopefully a great reminder for all of us to take a look at really what does go into our household waste too. So thank you for writing the book and thank you for having a chat with us.
Great, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.